From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this local and statewide news. Five residents at Ketchikan's Pioneer Home died from COVID-19 during an outbreak at the nursing home this past week. That's according to the state health department. Health and Social Services spokesman Clinton Bennett says in an email that a total of 12 residents and five staff have tested positive for COVID-19 this month, and four residents have been hospitalized. He says the majority of cases are no longer active. Bennett declined to say whether any of the five people who died were fully vaccinated, citing privacy concerns. He says the overall vaccination rate for residents and staff is above 90%, but even with that high vaccination rate, Bennett says Pioneer Home residents are, quote, extra vulnerable and susceptible to the virus, end quote. The state-run assisted living home is licensed for 45 beds, according to a 2018 advisory board report. State health officials wouldn't address the recent deaths during a regular call to reporters on Thursday, but official figures show that as of August 14th, seven fully vaccinated people across the state have died of COVID-19 this year. So-called vaccine breakthrough deaths make up roughly 6% of the state's 110 total fatalities in 2021. Vaccine breakthrough cases amounted to roughly 8% of the state's COVID-19 hospitalizations during that same period. Federal health officials recently outlined plans to provide booster doses of COVID-19 vaccines. People age 18 and older who received the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines will be eligible for a booster shot 8 months after their second shot, starting in September. People with certain conditions that weaken the immune system are eligible for third doses now. A total of 8 people have died from COVID-19 in Ketchikan, according to the community's pandemic dashboard. The state health department spokesperson says that throughout the pandemic, Pioneer Homes have been extra careful mitigating this virus in hopes of keeping residents and staff as safe and healthy as possible. Information on COVID-19 testing, vaccinations, and treatments is available at the statewide hotline 646-3322. Inspectors in Anchorage recently discovered more than 3,000 counterfeit COVID-19 vaccination cards in a shipment from China to the Port of Alaska. That's according to a written statement from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency today. CBP says the blank cards closely resemble those printed by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and given to individuals receiving one of the COVID-19 vaccines. In some circumstances, the cards are used to verify a person's vaccination status, as may be required to attend an event, like a concert, for example. CBP says counterfeit cards are increasingly becoming a problem around the country. Lance Robinson, Area Port Director of the Area Port of Anchorage, said in a statement that seizing the fake vaccination cards and keeping them away from the public who would sell them is, quote, important for the safety of the American public. CBP notes that unauthorized use of a government agency's official seal is a crime. There was another arson fire on Chena Hot Springs Road overnight. Alaska State Troopers report being notified about a fire at a vacant home near Mile 11 just after midnight. The North Star Volunteer Fire Department responded, but the structure is estimated to be a total loss. According to Facebook posts, the home formerly belonged to one of the victims of an arson attack in Pleasant Valley earlier this summer. Troopers say a deputy fire marshal responded to this morning's fire and determined that it was incendiary. It's the 9th structure fire along Chena Hot Springs Road since mid-May, being investigated as an arson. The Aleutian Arc recently has experienced a lot of volcanic activity. 3 volcanoes are currently erupting, Pavlov Volcano on the Alaska Peninsula and the Great Sitkin and Semisopochnoi in the Aleutian Islands. And while 3 simultaneous eruptions seems like a lot, Hannah Dietrich, a research geophysicist with the Alaska Volcano Observatory, says that's not unheard of.
Our average number of eruptions or number of volcanoes that erupt in a year in Alaska is only at 2. So this is unusually busy, but all of these volcanoes have erupted in recent years as well.
Semisopochnoi is the westernmost of the active volcanoes near the far end of the Aleutian chain. Dietrich says it's been active for about 3 years.
Semisopochnoi Island, it has been erupting really since 2018, but in recent weeks has been exploding quite regularly. And these are small explosions that are producing ash clouds, but they're quite low altitude, so they're all below about 10,000 feet.
Meanwhile, Pavlov Volcano on the Alaska Peninsula is also producing ash clouds, but Dietrich says the small puffs disperse quickly. In the center of the Aleutian Islands, about 26 miles northeast of Adak, Great Sitkin Volcano experienced an explosion at the end of May.
And then a lava dome began erupting just from the center of the summit crater. Right now at Great Sitkin, this lava dome, it's been growing almost radially.
She says the pilots should use caution and follow the observatory's advisories, but that none of these volcanoes are currently dangerous to nearby communities.
All these volcanoes, they don't pose any significant threat to people.
For more information and to see a timeline of volcanic eruptions, go to avo.alaska.edu. Last year's heavy rain and snowfall continued to affect southeast Alaska. Earlier in the summer, snowmelt led to elevated water levels at the Stikine and Taku rivers and other rivers and streams in the region. And higher water levels also means logs and other debris are getting into creeks. On Caprinoff Island earlier this month, the Forest Service removed several large logs from on top of a fish pass at Mitchell Creek. Katie Anastas spoke to U.S. Forest Service hydrologist Emil Tucker about how logs floating into creeks and removing those logs affect fish and the rest of the ecosystem.
My understanding with Mitchell Creek was that it, you know, the logs were kind of sitting on top of the fish pass and not into it yet, but that they could have. Is that right?
Yeah, the log was pretty interesting. It was a big one, and it looked like it had been in the creek a long time. It didn't have any bark or branches or anything on it. But it was, sitting right on top of the fish pass. And, you know, that one was big enough that, you know, if it did move around, I think it could probably do some damage to the pass itself. You know, even though that Mitchell Pass is made out of concrete, there are wooden components, little boards and baffles in there that could be damaged.
How often does something like the Mitchell Creek log removal have to happen? And is that happening anywhere else currently near Petersburg?
That's a good question. I would say that it happens rarely. We do see logs of that size move in streams in southeast Alaska, but not very often. Usually things move a little bit, you know, from one log jam to the next and not really down the stream for any length. This one probably came off the bank somewhere. And so what moved it would definitely have been the high flows this past November and December. On Prince of Wales Island, a whole heap of logs racked up against the upstream side of a bridge and actually shifted the bridge location a little bit. And so they have to redo the footings of the bridge to make it passable for large vehicles again.
These kinds of logs do play an important role in the whole ecosystem of creeks like this. Could you tell me more about that?
Yeah, we think of these creeks as being woody dependent. And so they've sort of co-evolved with wood as part of their structure. And then those logs play an important role in creating pools and cover for fish. We have a whole like program of putting wood back into streams when we don't think there's enough of it.
Oh, interesting. Why would you be putting wood back in?
So the wood in streams comes typically from the adjacent forest. And so if the adjacent forest was logged in the 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, then we interrupt that supply of large wood. You know, it goes down to small trees regrowing. And those small trees don't really play the same ecological role as some of the big logs will. And so over time, the stream will be losing wood. 80 years after harvest is sort of the predicted large wood minimum. And we're getting in this sort of 50 to 60 year range, 45 to 60 year range on a lot of these streams that were harvested back then. You know, when there's less wood, we tend to have fewer, you know, big log jams, big deep pools. And so it may not be as good for juvenile fish in the summer, but it may be better for pink salmon in the early fall. And so you've changed this ecological role.
That was Emil Tucker, a hydrologist with the U.S. Forest Service, talking with KFSK's Katie Anastas. You can see photos from the Mitchell Creek log removal at kfsk.org. An Alaska lawmaker is criticizing the state's decision to not seek further legal review of a court ruling that struck down several campaign contribution caps. The case was heard by a three-judge appeals court panel, and Senator Bill Willikowski says the dissent in the case was strong. He says Governor Mike Dunleavy has an obligation to defend the laws of the state. A spokesperson for the Alaska Department of Law says the department reached its decision after evaluating the law and decisions by the U.S. Supreme Court and the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. The department is led by Attorney General Treg Taylor. And finally, a quick look at the weather. Tonight, mostly cloudy, patchy fog, drizzle, lows around the 50s and light winds. Friday, mostly cloudy, still with the patchy fog, drizzle and isolated rain showers, highs around the 60s. Saturday, scattered rain showers, and Saturday night, mostly cloudy, lows in the mid-40s and light winds. That's it from the KTOO Newsroom. If you're looking for more local or statewide news, visit us at kto.org. I'm Rasha McChesney.